There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 605, October 26th. 2012. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Kingfisher Airlines. Come work for us for free while the owner goes to a Grand Prix.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Concorde Agreement just waiting for Bernie and Tott. Only 35,000 tickets sold for the Indian Grand Prix. Ferrari says they can catch Red Bull and Motorsports Mondial with the King of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Very excited for a Grand Prix, basically next door to my original hometown. So that's very exciting.
Yep.
And it's a very nice track. You know, I knew the track was very nice when we saw the race last year. They're now comparing it to Spa-Francorchamps, and Sebastian Vettel is saying it's the second fastest track after Monza. So that's very impressive.
It is very, it's a fast track, it's a nice track, and especially now that all the trees have grown, because really last year, they had barely finished. I mean, the paint was still drying when the race occurred. Now everything has settled down, it's finished, it's beautiful. Unfortunately, they don't have the passion for motorsports like they do in Monza.
Well, you know, you're right on that, but the history of motorsports is not very long in India, but I've got news for you. There is a lot of interest. First of all, it's a big country, and they've had racing tracks thanks to the British Raj since before independence, which was 1947. So there is a lot of interest there, and what will also surprise you is the number of old classic historical cars that are in India.
Vintage cars. I know are
very big.
Very big. They're popular. And they love cars in India, actually.
The only thing missing from this race is they don't have a Gangnam-style Indian guy.
Yeah, but see, they should have come up with something really fast.
Yeah, when I first saw that Gangnam-style thing, when I heard the name, I thought maybe some, you know, Ganges River. I thought it was something Indian, but then it turned out to be not Indian, but Korea.
Exactly, but still, it's going to be a great race. I'm excited. A lot of things going on, but really the talk of the town is Red Bull and Ferrari, whether Ferrari can catch up. Ferrari says that they've got big upgrades coming up for the Grand Prix in India, U.S. Grand Prix, for Abu Dhabi, and for Brazil. Now, there's a lot of talk about customs in India. I remember last year we had issues with customs. What's going on with the homies and the customs?
Well, these custom issue, when you go to any country, you have to pay custom duty,
but
this and that.
They're a little more severe than most countries.
No, they're not severe. The problem in that part of the world where I come from is they have 84 hours in a day. So if you are used to calling UPS and the guy shows up at 10 o'clock because it was a 10 o'clock delivery, you know, it's still 10 o'clock there, but Monday could be Wednesday.
So
it's a little different pace of...
Different.
They're not trying to create any problem. It's just way of the world. It's a little different.
It's cultural. Somewhat.
Whatever, man.
Whatever.
Business cultural.
I understand. But still, it's exciting. I think they're hoping that they sell up to 60,000 seats by the time the Grand Prix starts. Last year, they had 95,000, but that was the inaugural Grand Prix, and high numbers are always expected at the first Grand Prix. But still, it is a great facility. I think it's a great area. The question about the poverty and the riches right next to each other isn't talked about too much this year like it was last year. That was a big issue last year.
Well, issue was also because, obviously, it has not evaporated in 1 year, but also one of the reasoning was, and that's what I heard, is that some of the track was built on some of the land where people were basically shipped out or forced out. So that was also an issue. And, you know, it's a different world out there. I mean, you really have to be there to see the, you know, how different the world is.
I'm sure. I can't imagine it. But maybe one day you and I will be able to go and get our own version of Deli Belly.
Well, I'm there every year. I mean, so, and you can get Deli Belly in Brooklyn and here in California also.
I've gotten it here in California.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's called a bad in-flight burrito.
No, it's called a chicken biryani and some naan and spicy chicken leg. Mmm, tandoori. Yummy.
Okay, well, that's the menu for this afternoon here at the cafeteria in the Palatial Studios.
Si, senor.
But still, let's get back to the Indian Grand Prix. Are you as excited as I am, and do you think that Fernando is he's gonna have to win at least one more race to beat Vettel? There's no way he can keep staying on the podium and Red Bull keeps winning. Red Bull has to have an alternator issue. Something has got to happen. And let's not forget, Fernando can go into the DNF chapel and hope that Red Bull not only has a DNF, but hopes that maybe they get tangled up with a McLaren, a Lotus F1, and things can happen.
Williams also.
Williams, Pastor Maldonado, but I don't know. Williams has completely fallen off the target. They're 14th, 15th. I don't know what's happened to Williams, but Lotus F1, who have been a huge disappointment, are still looking for that win, but they could be a problem. You know, the problem is where you qualify 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. That's where Grosjean, Raikkonen is going to be. Those could be problems. Now, of course, Pastor Maldonado has qualified higher than Bruno Senna, but still, you're right. Williams can be a problem if they qualify in the top 10, but still, Red Bull is so strong. They've really put it all together when you need to, and I think Ferrari, with their wind tunnel excuse, it's not getting anywhere. I think it's just to appease Fernando, and we're going to see if Fernando doesn't get a win soon, he's going to show some frustration.
Yes, and talking of Ferrari upgrades, I think their biggest upgrade is Rob Smedley telling Massa to stay 3 seconds behind. I think that's their biggest upgrade for this race, at least. No, I agree with you. I think the only thing that's going to save Alonso's Paella and Bacon is a Cablamo or a Magneti Marelli problem or some, you know, the problem is the guy is going to qualify first or second. Okay, and I know he's good friends with Mark and he can call his might to do some damage. But then he has to win that race, win or at least come second. But if both these hombres finish races, then this is going Sebastian Vettel's way.
Exactly.
I just cannot see Ferrari. First, they have to catch up to McLaren, okay? And then they have to catch up. You know, you just don't do that in two successive races. Normally, it takes a little time. And then, you know, the problem is the less races remaining, the more you want to catch. You know, it's what they call desperate men do desperate moves, as we saw in World Series by Renault Finale, which we'll talk later on. So that's, I think, that's the way it's going. And this is a track where Bastian won and led, I guess, all the laps last year. So I expect more of the same. Not that I want more of the same, but I expect more of the same.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, once again, Ferrari, I think they're just going to be playing catch-up till the end of the year, even though they're going to do a lot of talking because they have to keep Fernando happy. But still, the sad part now, Fernando really, he's here for life, and they've got to not only promise him a good car, but they've got to deliver. What is going on at Ferrari? So I'm really disappointed with that, but still, Red Bull, phenomenal team. McLaren, they're up and down. They're just all over the place. I can't even tell you where Jenson Button is going to be, but we know one thing. He's really happy he's taken over McLaren, and it's all over the British press. Now, the big news is, of course, Max Mosley telling Jean Todt that he needs to be more machismo, talking to the F1 teams to get, you know, positive results and movement in the FIA towards more safety and more, I think, really more cash flow to the FIA, because a lot of people don't realize the FIA need cash.
Yeah, but it was Max Mosley who sold the commercial rights to his buddy Bernie Ecclestone.
Exactly.
For what a lot of people consider was not a lot of money. Plus, it was a 100-year deal.
100-year contract. No, I
know. So this contract will be there when both Jean and Nicolas Todt are pushing the daisies.
Statues somewhere in Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
Or as Johnny Carson would say, test driving a wooden Buick.
That's so beautiful, Nasser. That is so beautiful. No, but I like Jean Todt's attitude. He said, first of all, I don't need to be a dictator, which was really the right thing to say.
Maybe he can be a De Gaulle.
A De Gaulle.
Charles De Gaulle.
Chateau.
Come to a race in a big Citroën, you know.
Yeah, but still, I think the only thing left is for the FIA and Bernie to come up with how much Formula One income the FIA is going to get so they can run their private jets and Charlie Whiting can get those fresh pressed shirts every weekend.
Yeah.
So that's good news because that means we're going to have a Concorde Agreement and everything's going to be nice and peachy in Formula One.
Yeah, what they should really do, you know, is they should compensate the tracks also from all these incomes. So we have Spa, so we have Manicure, so we have Paul Ricard, Monza, you know, Hockenheim Ring. And I really strongly feel that, you know, like, you know, I don't know, which some years ago there was some sort of rule that if you, like, you know, in NFL, you get the first pick, I guess, if you're dead last, right?
Correct. That's, yes.
Yeah. So what they should do is whoever is dead last, they get a $5 million bonus from, you know, the FOM. And in return, they put the GP2 champion in that car for 1 year. And one season, if you are really talented, you will at least show some mettle. I mean, you know, we've seen Nico Hülkenberg do a good job. We've seen Sergio Perez. And I mean, the guy, I mean, if you compare his career with, you know, a lot of people are concerned about Esteban did not deliver in GP2. And delivery this day and age is you win first year or second year, you dominate. But even Adrian Fernandez, who is manager to Sergio Perez, is saying that Esteban Gutierrez is raw speed and more a faster driver. So, and you know, there's a, talking of Esteban, there's a chance he might race in India because Sergio is not feeling well.
Exactly. I was just going to bring that up. Speaking of Dele Belli, Sergio is not feeling well and he's going to give the word. Of course, by the time this podcast airs, it'll be done. But still, he'll say on Friday morning practice or Friday practice FP1, he's going to tell the team whether he's a go or not. And if he's not, and you know what I think? Sergio Perez, even though he probably could do it, he's missed some races in the past because he wasn't feeling well. Accident in Monaco. He knows everything will work out fine. He's already signed at McLaren. He doesn't need seat time in a Sauber. And he knows that his muchacho, que bueno, de Mexico, Esteban Gutierrez will get the seat time, and I think this is going to be seen this weekend. Esteban will be in the Sauber, predicted here at F1Weekly.com.
Yeah, and you know, just to be fair to the Dele Belli, it's not a Dele Belli issue with him. I think he's brought his cold from Switzerland or someplace. He has a cold, not a stomach issue.
I understand, and I certainly mean
I don't want you
no harm.
Putting down my people
I know,
every chance you get.
I know, are really important, and I love the food.
Even though they're from the wrong side of the border, I still have affinity for them.
I understand. So, no. Sergio Perez is not feeling well. Carlos Slim gave him a call, told him, you're not going to feel well for a couple more days, and Esteban will get some seat time so he can have an advantage next year when he has to go up against your friend, Nico Hülkenberg.
Yeah, both are very good, talented drivers. You know, both of them race for Josef Kaufmann team. And Josef Kaufmann, who had Ari Leeuwendijk in Formula 3 many, many moons ago.
That's many moons.
Yeah, many Dutch moons ago. Actually, he made a comment to me some years ago that he feels that Hülkenberg is a better driver than Sebastian Vettel. Now, this comment was made before Sebastian Vettel won any world championship. But he has seen both of them in Formula BMW, you know, German series. But, you know, you have to give a person a chance to see what they can do. And, you know, if Esteban gets this, this is one of those things, you know, a defining moment in a sportsman's career, that if he gets this chance and he does a Romain Grosjean or a Pastor Maldonado.
Or a Vettel 2007.
Yes, and then they can say, okay, you know, this guy really needs to spend another year in GP2. But if he can pull out a stunt like Gilles Villeneuve or Michael Schumacher, and you've heard of that guy, where he does very good in qualifying. You don't have to win the race, but if you make a statement and finish the race, like Sebastian Vettel did at Indy in 2007, then if that happens, and we're just, you know, assuming that he will be racing, he will at least do the first you know, Friday practice thingy. But if he gets a chance to drive in the Indian Grand Prix and do a decent performance, and what could be really a deciding factor would be if he finishes and qualifies ahead of Kobayashi, who is no slouch. And then I will not be surprised if Sauber says to Sergio, adios and sayonara. You know, cut him loose and
work out a deal. Seat time.
Yeah, because I think a lot of these drivers, you know, they are signed up till the end of the season, end of the year. It's like, this is the problem I think Lewis Hamilton has. His contract ends on December 31st. So if McLaren wants, they can stop him from driving the Mercedes team, for the Mercedes car. But, you know, most of these issues, somehow they always get resolved when some cash starts traveling one way or the other.
I agree.
Isn't that interesting?
I agree. Fascinating. So we'll see if I'm right, if Gutierrez gets the ride this weekend. Good news from Pirelli. Apparently their 2013 tires are going to be more, let's say, more compatible with what the F1 teams want.
So it won't be a lottery. It will be more like a bingo?
Yes, exactly. Seriously. And apparently there's going to be good news because everybody's going to be able to test the tires in Brazil in the first Friday practice, which is good because the differences are going to be fairly drastic. And, of course, the 2013 car is shaped around these tires. So this is good news. And I'm wondering if Pirelli caved a little bit from pressure from either Jean Todt or Ferrari. They are an Italian brand. Yeah,
well, Jean Todt, Ferrari, pretty much the same thing.
Thank you very much.
You know what to say.
So, yes, I know, I see conspiracy everywhere, but these things happen in Formula One, whether you want to believe it or not.
Well, nothing is forever, as we all know.
I that's very, very true. And let's knock on wood about our relationship, Nasser.
Well...
Exactly.
Did you get some roses from Steve Faub?
No, Steve Faub doesn't call me anymore. It's over. The relationship is done.
He's checked out.
He's checked out, and it's Go Giants over there.
Oh wow!
So there you have it. But still, it's going to be a great weekend. I'm really surprised that Nahrain Karthikeyan, of course, the only Indian on the track this weekend. Unfortunately, he's with HRT. A lot of talk about how we don't have an Indian at the front of the spear. I don't see one coming up anytime soon. But still, there'll be a lot of fans. I don't think it's going to be as exciting as Kamui, Kamui.
Yeah, talking of Nahrain, reports are that he may switch to IndyCar racing, which is what he should have done 2-3 years ago anyway. But as far as young Indian drivers are concerned, you know, Vijay Mallya, Force India, they ran this One in a Billion program. And it was really based on performance driven criteria, and they have a couple of kids anywhere from 12 to 15 doing karting in Europe and all over the place. A couple of them are very quick. One of them actually finished fifth in his category in the Margutti Trophy or some major Italian race. So they have a couple of things, but it takes a lot of time to, you know, the problem is, which is what I always tell when I'm talking to the handlers of young racing drivers, even if you're very good, you have to perform, you have to win, because if you miss out on the first year in like Formula Renault or World Series or GP2, then you're running the risk of getting blown by a guy who's a rookie in your second year. And, you know, we saw that happen in British F3 this year. I've seen in other series, and it happens every year. And that's why you have to just keep making things happen. As Derek Daly said, you know, there is no room to hide in this business.
One of my favorite interviews, actually, was Derek Daly. Very, very good points on motorsports and what you have to accomplish.
Thank you.
So there you have it. There is some big news in Motorsports Mondial, and of course you mentioned it in the World Series by Renault. Some people asking for rule changes. Very exciting stuff. And that it's interesting, but he got the championship, and we're going to talk about that coming up next. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Thank you, sir.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charon region, sipping on Cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charon. Opening in June 2012, Bassignon offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassignon is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassignon.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's bassignaud.com. Allons-y!
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards. Today we have champions crowned in World Series by Renault, which is also known as Formula Renault 3.5, DTM, plus action from MotoGP and Clark Rogers' favorite racing series, National Association of Stock Car Automobile Racing, also known as
Le NASCAR.
Thank you, sir. We shall start with World Series by Renault, and I'm so happy I got to watch this race, courtesy of VIP Box.TV live, the final race. For the second year running, the championship is decided in the season finale at Barcelona with some argy-bargy driving. Rookie sensation of the season, and you know, we know both of these kids, so it was kind of bittersweet, you know, to see this happen. Rookie sensation of the season, Robin Vriens from the Netherlands, retook the lead in the championship from your homeboy, Jules Bianchi, by finishing third in the opening race of the weekend. Bianchi was seventh. So it really came down to the final race, and whoever was going to finish ahead pretty much is going to be the champion. And you know, that spells trouble, always. Suzuka, Barcelona, Jerez. This has happened even at the top level. So Antonio Felix da Costa from Portugal was the winner in the first race. And this guy's done a tremendous job this year, by the way. The amazing, you know, Red Bull dropped Lewis Williamson, who was a very promising kid. He was in the, and he took over his car. And Lewis was having problem finishing a race in the points or in the top five. And Da Costa is like nonstop. All he does is win races now. So Dr. Marco has done a good job on this issue. The final race saw another win for Da Costa. A freight train developed behind Vriens, which included Bianchi, Kevin Magnussen, who was looking very aggressive, and Alexander Rossi, who also was looking very aggressive, ready to pounce on each other. All Vriens had to do was finish ahead of Bianchi to win the championship, the first rookie to do so since a guy named Robert Kubica. You've heard of him.
Yeah, he's coming back. You'll see him one day.
Okay, it'll be nice. There was drama and excitement as Bianchi put a surprise move going into turn one of the Montmelo Grand Prix circuit to move ahead of Vriens with less than 10 laps to go. And you can see this move on YouTube. Very impressive. He caught Vriens like basically napping, you know. Very impressive. What happens next has two versions. It was a racing accident or an incident, according to Vriens. Bianchi feels Vriens took him out to take the title. And I would like to, people who have watched this or will watch this on YouTube, you included, let us know on the forum what you feel. Okay, this was not a case of ramming into somebody like a Jerez or the Senna running into Prost. I think it was more like, you know, it was like a do or die move, you know. It could have gone one way or the other.
And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of adrenaline flowing here. And sometimes these things, the drivers say, are instinctive.
That's heat of the moment, yeah. What do you expect?
Schumacher always said it was instinctive. Had to do it.
Had to do it. Cool. Shortly after Bianchi passed Vriens, the Dutch driver came under pressure. And I think this is where the problem was, that Kevin Magnussen was right all over him, and Alexander Rossi was also very close and pumping out very fast times. If there was no pressure on Vriens from behind, I think he could have maybe waited a lap or two and tried to do to Bianchi what was done to him. But anyway, Vriens made a do-or-die move to prevent Magnussen passing him going into turn four, because that would have been totally over. And in the process, gave a big hug to Bianchi's car, sending the Tech 1 machine in the kitty litter. And needless to say, Jules Bianchi is not very thrilled. I don't think Friends will be getting a Christmas card or a bottle of, you know, some French wine around Christmas time.
No, no, Jules Bianchi was really angry and calling for rules changes, championships shouldn't be won like this, a lot of blah, blah.
I was reading in one of his interviews on the web, and it was something like him and the team had discussed about filing a protest with the hoping that maybe they'll do what they did to Schumacher and, you know, when he ran into Jacques Villeneuve, but they said he was given a penalty which he served, so now he cannot protest. But, you know, boys will be boys, and hopefully both of these young kids, who are both very talented, move on to bigger and better things. Friends was able to continue and finish the race, but later the stewards excluded him from the race. After winning the Formula BMW Europe Championship in 2010, the Formula Renault Euro Cup in 2011, Friends has now won the 2012 World Series by Renault. Three championships in three seasons. And this is his fourth, and his first year of motor racing, he was Rookie of the Year in Formula BMW. So that and this did not happen just by good Dutch luck. You know what I'm saying? So, and he's now already being talked off that if Gutierrez get the Sauber seat, he may have the reserve driver slot. Anyhow, Alexander Rossi, young man from Northern California, set the fastest lap for both races. He was third last year behind Robert Wickens and Jean-Éric Vergne. This season, he did not even finish in the top 10. Not sure if it had to do with change of team. Friends won the championship at Fortec, and this was the team Rossi drove for last year. So we'll have to catch up with him, either Skype or phone or whatever, and find out what happened.
Well, at least Rossi will be testing the Caterham F1 car in Abu Dhabi, part of the Young Driver. Drivers program. So that'll give him some seat time, and if he impresses, maybe he will continue as a reserve driver and stay in Formula One.
Yeah,
in that capacity.
Yeah, and Formula One is so flexible. You can be in your early 30s and still be in the young driver test, you know.
Shh.
Yes. Yes, thank you very much. Okay, he will get to test a... I mean, we're talking about Friends here. The Red Bull car as prize for winning the championship. And then, you know, we'll see what happens as far as the Sauber reserve driver seat is. I read that his manager has good contacts at Hinwil, which is the home base of Sauber, so let's see what happens. But if you do, you know, the best way to get to Formula One is to win races and championships. So he's now, but I was very surprised, you know, even after last year, that he did not get into any, like a Red Bull, or maybe he was not interested, you know, not all drivers accept their deal, because apparently it's very one-sided, plus they kick you out if you don't win the, you know, very quickly.
What did you think of, you know, not going off topic here, but speaking of championships, winners, Alain Prost testing the Red Bull?
That was very impressive to see him drive that car and to see that helmet that I've seen it for so
long. Frison.
Frison, absolutely. And I love this kind of stuff. I really enjoy when people who were in Formula One stay connected, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, Mario Andretti was at the Texas track. And he is like a kid in a candy store.
Circuit of the Americas, Nasser.
Yeah, Kota.
Kota!
Yeah, and, you know, I've talked to him face-to-face a few times. We've done interviews. And it's like amazing, man. I mean, this guy is world champion, one of the greatest all time. And you get the impression that this is a 14-year-old at a race for the first time. I mean, he's so passionate and excited. So, and I love that with people about... And their passion for motor racing.
But it was exciting to see Prost, and he's still fit for, I think he's 55, getting in that Red Bull. I mean, it must have been as exciting for him as for everyone else around, because obviously three-time world champion.
Three-time?
Three times? Four times.
Yeah, four times.
Yeah.
And one of the comments he made was, I've not read the whole thing, I'm still faster than Eddie Cheever.
That's nothing but trouble.
Yeah. But, no, the guy was very quick when he came through, you know. You know, it's like one of those things, you know, we're talking about Gutierrez getting an opportunity, Robin Friends and Alexander Rossi. John Watson's comment when he was a senior guy and was asked to be at the test when Prost tested the car first time Formula One car, his comment was, it was like he was born in that car. I mean, you know,
that's up there.
Yeah, that's you know, that's what you have with Kimi Raikkonen. You know, it's very
Prost was a little more serious than Kimi.
Well, oh, of course, there's no comparison there. But we're talking pure raw talent. Yeah. You know? I mean, like Esteban, you know, when he first came to U.S. in the Formula BMW, first two races of his life ever, pole position. And he had Daniel Murad, who went on to win the championship, Alexander Rossi. There was good competition there. So these are the flashes that you have to show, but you have to keep showing, you know. You can't be a one-hit wonder in Formula One. So shall we go back to MM?
Please. Thank you.
And we're not talking about Kyle Busch's sponsor here.
Correct.
We're talking Motorsports Mondial.
Wunderbar.
Okay, Formula Renault Euro Cup, which is the BB series. Their season also came to an end in Barcelona. Final two races saw first-time winners. Oscar Tunio from Colombia was the winner in race one, ahead of Belgian driver Stoffel Vandoorne, with Russian driver Daniil Kvyat third. Stoffel and Daniil were also locked in a championship battle, with the Belgian leading going into the final race. This was won by Oliver Rowland of UK, and this is also a kid who has a lot of very impressive karting background. Vandoorne did not finish the race, but Kvyat was unable to capitalize on his misery. So for the second year in a row, our friends at Josef Kaufmann Racing has the championship-winning driver. Last year it was Robin Frings. In days gone by, talent like Nico Hülkenberg, Sebastian Buemi, and Esteban Gutierrez also drove for them. And, you know, talking about Sebastian Buemi, I was talking to Josef Kaufmann some years ago about Buemi. And he said, you know, when he came, he knew where he was going. He wanted to be in Formula One, nothing more, nothing less. He said he was very focused. I don't think he is the same talent as Hülkenberg or Sebastian Vettel, but he is pretty good. He made it to Formula One and survived there for two seasons. He's still part of the Red Bull program, right, in some shape or form. I think he's their reserve driver.
I think he just gets free Red Bull.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Okay, IndyCar news. In 2013, this was very exciting. The series will have a race in Italy. Three tracks are under consideration to host the event, which will take place in September. Now, in September, there's also another race in Italy. We all know what that is. Gran Premio d'Italia.
Bravo, bravo.
And you know
bravo.
Where it takes place. Autodromo, baby. Autodromo Nazionale di Monza. We all know what that is. Last time IndyCars raced here, it was in the famous Race of Two Worlds back in the late 50s. And both events were won by American drivers and Indy cars.
I think it was 1958.
Something like that, 58 and 57, yeah. Something like that. Okay, Imola, not too far from Bologna and Ferrari factory, is also on the wish list. This is a fantastic track. You've been to Imola?
I haven't been to Imola.
Yeah, very, very nice track in the center of the city, beautiful. Third track is Mugello, owned by Ferrari and located in beautiful Tuscany area near a town called Scarperia. The layout of this track is like Imola, up and down, going this way and that way, as the locals would say, molto bellissimo. This is in a beautiful area. Our friend Mr. Manzoor took me there some years ago, and it's just a beautiful track.
But why would IndyCar want to go to Italy that's so focused on either football or Formula One and Fernando?
Well, there is passion for Indy cars, and Luca Filippi, who was trying to get a ride here, is also on that committee that's trying to get the. It will be good for Indy car racing. It will be good for Italy.
I know who it's going to be good for. Rubinho.
Yeah, and you know all the cars are built by Dallara.
I know, but still, that'll be great. You know, Rubinho could go visit at the factory and hang out a little bit, have a little pasta, marinara.
I think they should not go to Monza. I think they should go to like Mugello or Imola.
I agree.
Fantastic.
Because Monza is really, well, I mean.
Well, then there will be the obvious, you know, comparison. Formula cars were doing this and this and that. They cornered this.
Well, they're big, heavy cars. It would be a different comparison.
Yeah, but still, you know, media plays it up. So, you know, and Monza is Monza, man. We're Formula One, baby. Man, I was so happy to be there. And, you know, this is the race I should go to every year. I just love the place.
IndyCar, I mean, Monza obviously has a lot of races throughout the seasons. Many, many Formulas race at Monza. And it wouldn't bother me to see IndyCars at Monza. Yeah. It'd be fun.
But Mugello is a beautiful track.
Mugello would be good, too.
Yeah. But see, what I don't want, they should go where there is passion for motor racing. Italy makes sense. They're doing a race in Argentina. Brazil, they should go to Argentina. You know, I mean, maybe in Santiago's. You know, they have a lot of racing fans there. Go to places like that. Maybe they can go to the IndyCar race in Turkey. Istanbul track is fantastic.
That's very true.
And they're saying that the New Jersey Grand Prix has been postponed, that they might want to bring back the Turkish Grand Prix, which is such a fabulous track and a city also. That would be nice.
I agree. Now, I heard a rumor that Danica Patrick was going to go back to IndyCars. Is that true or is that not true?
I thought she was on her way to Formula One.
Testing for Honda?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, as the number one driver for...
No, she's doing that
KAF1.
I thought it was...
Well, what was the guy's name?
No, it's...
Ken Ward?
She's going to be Miss Formula One.
Whew. I think she missed that boat.
A long time. But she doesn't like Europe.
Why, they don't have good cheeseburgers?
Correct.
And, what was that guy's name? Ken Anderson, right?
Ken Anderson, your friend, USF1.com.
Yeah, he should be with, he should start his new team, KAF1. Ken Anderson have Danica Patrick and Kurt Busch as the drivers. But I mean, he has totally disappeared from the scene.
Ken?
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, he's an exile.
Yeah. Where, in South Carolina?
Correct.
Okay, back to Motorsports Mondial. Lotus leaving on a jet plane. Danny Bahar's dream of world racing domination continue to fade away as an announcement is expected soon that they are bailing out of Brickyard and IndyCar racing. Rumors continue, however, that we may see Alfa Romeo or Dodge branded engines in IndyCar racing in the near future. Both are, of course, owned by Fiat. It would be nice. I would love to see Alfa Romeo
would be nice. Dodge, I mean, not very exciting. Or Doge.
Doge?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's how I call it.
Beautiful. Talking of Indian young talent, a new dawn in Indian racing, a new series called MRF 2000 is being launched this weekend as the support race to the Indian Grand Prix. MRF is a leading tire brand in India. Quite a big entry from European racing scene as the prize money is very spicy. Among the drivers taking part are the 2012 Formula 2 champion, Luciano Bacchetta of UK, who, according to this week's Autosport magazine, has Indian parentage. And, you know, Luciano sounds so much more from Sardinia than from Calcutta. But
A little bit.
Yeah, because I once read that his papito was from Sicilia, Sicily, or Sardinia. So maybe his mother is from India, because
Or Pakistan.
No, if they're saying Indian parentage, then it must be. You know, the Brits should know India, Pakistan, okay. Maybe not in America. So we'll see how it goes. But we wish everybody all the best, you know. John Lancaster is another pretty good driver. This kid, some years ago in, I think it was F3 Euro Series, he had a crash at, I think it was Hockenheim, like you would not believe. You can check it out of those who are interested. But he was okay, and that's why I bring this up. A lady racer from UK, Alice Powell, and Sean Walkinshaw. He is the son of late Tom Walkinshaw, are also taking part. And our friend Harry Tinknell was talking to me a few months ago, actually when I met him in England last month, that he may also do this race. So it will be interesting to see how it goes. And this is what they really need to do, have a lot of smaller series, widespread karting program. And, if you have a society of 1 billion people, I'm damn sure you're going to find somebody who's very, very quick sooner or later if the program is done properly. What the intent is to find a quick kid, not just make a lot of money by having people come and rent cart. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Oh, the USA will be represented in this Indian series, MRF 2000, by GP3 race winner Connor Daly, Bambino of Derek Daly. Oh, did you hear this? Tony George was in Sweden.
He loves Sweden.
I don't know when this happened, but he must have been there. We will have peace in our time. The civil war that broke out in Swedish tin tops last year and divided the series this season will be over, starting with the 2013 season. Technical rules from the new series, which was called TTA, will be adopted, but the merged series will retain the original name, Swedish Touring Car Championship. I don't know why such smart people, powerful people do these things. You know, they break up a series and realize, you know, after 5 years and a lot of bloodletting, we need to get back together. Same thing happened in the sports car arena. But better late than never. You'll never see a split in NASCAR, let me tell you that.
No, those guys are like Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, tightly knit.
Yeah. Talking of Tony, it looks like he and some of his IndyCar cronies, and this rumor just keeps coming back, they are still trying to buy the series from his own family. Question of the day is, man who spent over $300 million of his family's fortune, made NASCAR the king of American motorsports, what does he want to do next? I mean, what does he want?
I don't know. Maybe he wants to buy the Colts.
Yeah, that will be very good. Now we go to British Tin Tops, the BTCC. Matt Neal is the winner of the first race at Brands Hatch. By the way, have you ever been to England?
Only briefly.
If you ever go to England, there are two things which are close by you should do. Brands Hatch and not too far from the Brooklands Museum and the Try. Highly, highly recommended.
And kidney pudding?
Oh, absolutely. And baked beans. Aaron Smith was the second winner and Frank Rathall was the winner in race three of the weekend. But the big winner of the weekend and season was Gordon Shedden. He became the first Scot to win the British Touring Car Championship since John Cleland in 1995. From British Tin Top to Deutschen Tin Tops, German Touring Cars, DTM, that championship was also decided last weekend at the Hockenheim Ring. Big day for BMW. Brazilian Augusto Farfus takes pole and their Canadian import Bruno Spengler wins the race and championship over Mercedes man Gary Paffert. BMW winning in their first year of competition in this series after a 20-year absence. This is really impressive. And they went with they have several teams. One of them is Schnitzer, which has been a very long BMW supported outfit. The pole sitter Farfus finished third in the race. American man from Sacramento, Joey Hand, was eighth, just ahead of Ralph Schumacher.
How is Ralph doing?
He's doing pretty good. You can see him in the top 15 normally.
Of course, and this was David Coulthard's
Sayonara
of the series, and in motorsports in general, he's going to take his BBC job more seriously.
Yeah, and then, you know, Susie Wolf, Mrs. Susie Wolf, has also raced her last.
Formerly known as Susie Stoddard.
Yeah, and I thought that she was going to concentrate on her Formula One testing and development career, but apparently she's going to do some GT3 racing also.
Well, to be honest with you, the person I felt sorry for was Gary Paffett.
Why?
Well, he thought he had this championship clinched 4 or 5 races ago, sort of like Fernando right now. And lost it. And Gary, you know, still test driving McLarens, but he's never going to get his big shot. This was his big shot at a championship and missed it because BMW did such a fine job.
Yeah, they did a very impressive job. Okay, now we go from British and German tin tops to American tin tops. The NASCAR nation, Matt Kenseth was the winner over Martin Truex Jr. and Paul Menard. His papito is John Menard. And they say John Menard has more dollar bills than Roger Penske. He owns the Menard.
Oh, yeah, Maynards.
Yeah. Are they big?
Huge.
I don't see them here. Are they here in California also?
No. Yeah. That's the South.
They're in the South? Or in the Midwest?
The Bible Belt.
You have spoken. Okay. Where are we now? Oh, talking of Danica Patrick. She lost her cool with a guy named Landon Castle and ended up against the wall of voodoo after trying to spin out Castle. This is classic. This is on YouTube.
This is quality.
And this is getting this has got her a lot of negative press in sports media, not just racing media.
Yeah, but it's gone viral.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not Gangnam style, but it's Danica style.
Yeah. Finally, this is not finally. We have MotoGP also. MotoGP, it was a case of a rainy night in Malaysia. Lord, I believe it's raining all over Sepang. Danny Pedrosa was the winner in the rain-shortened race. Jorge Lorenzo Segundo and Casey Stoner third. And you know what happened when they stopped the race? There was quite a few laps to go, and they were not sure if they will restart the race or what they will do. So it was like a, you know, everybody, what's going to happen? Shockingly, I did not see anybody like Pedrosa or Rossi running around with a Haagen-Dazs looking for a soda pop.
Really?
So, yeah, so that was, this was also in Malaysia.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's the difference between MotoGP riders and Formula One racers.
Well, you know, Tim Tebow patented or trademarked Tebowing. So I believe Kimi Raikkonen has done similar things with
Haagen-Dazing.
Correct.
There you go. And the next MotoGP race is at Phillip Island, which is a fantastic track in Australia. Okay, the where are we now? Finally, Petit Le Mans at Road Atlanta, which I think is one of the... There are two great tracks in this country. I mean, there are quite a few, but two are really super over the top, as you would say. Road America and Road Atlanta. I really like Road Atlanta very much because it has elevation changes also. Anyway, the young driver who's going to have a chance to test drive a Formula One car, Nicolas Prost and his cronies Andrea Bellicchi and Neil Gianni won the race in their Toyota-powered Lola, which was pretty impressive. I watched some of the race. Very nice track. Very good to see cars racing at night also.
Outstanding, Ness. There's a lot of racing this weekend, including Toyota taking it to Audi in Shanghai, which is going to be an exciting race. Of course, I'm talking about the WEC or World Endurance Championship. That's going to be pretty exciting stuff.
Are they racing at the Shanghai track, Formula One track?
Yes, sir. The Formula One track, the Shanghai track. So they'll with the smog and the haze, you can't see very much.
But so there'll be at least 32 spectators?
Correct.
That's good.
Correct.
That's good. You know, they built a track in Chinese, Ordos it is called, in Chinese Mongolia also.
Yeah, well, that track is pretty popular for the donkey races that happen in Tibet, and then they go down in 747s and race in upper Mongolia.
Yeah.
Yes, so there you have it. Anyway, any predictions for Korea, Nasser?
Well, as we have discussed at the top of the show, if there are no major issues at the start, I just cannot see anybody toppling the Red Bulls, and Mark Webber may take a win, may take a pole, but I think Sebastian Vettel is going to be very tough to beat.
Well, I predict Kimi Raikkonen gets his first win of the season. There you have it, Nass. Some of us going out on the limb. Nass, okay. Thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Of course, I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.